2016 brings a whole new series of webinars from Andromedan contactee Alex Collier. Webinar 8 on the 18th of March 2016. Topics covered are Nibiru, black holes, and exciting current events. So, sit back, get your cup of tea, and enjoy. Here's your host, JP. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever on this beautiful little spinning globe you are. And without very much further ado, perhaps we ought to wait a couple of minutes with a bit of preamble, Alex. So do you want to tell us about where we're all going? And here's your star of the show, Alex Collier.
Hardly the star of the show.
Well.
Hi, folks. You know, for all of you that have registered and support the webinars, on behalf of myself, James, and JP, thank you so very, very much. We simply couldn't do it without you, and there would be no need to do it without you. So we are just eternally grateful for your help and your support. This is also a very, very nice way of sharing information without having to do a lot of travel. As you're aware, you know, it's very difficult to maintain a positive field when the news is so dark and so dire, and there's just so much drama. And, you know, the whole world's kind of looking like a circus. It really is. Just the things that are going on, the decisions being made, the so many people just trying to control, manipulate. It's really quite extraordinary. And today, there is some significant current stat events. And I know that we talked about, you know, we were supposed to talk about black holes, dimensions, and taking back your reality. I will do my best to cover that. But there are some current stat things that absolutely need to be put out there. And I would like you all to have paper and pen so that you can write some things down so you can do your own research. And I would suggest you do that. So we're going to cover some things. After the presentation is over, I will be sending some links, YouTube links, to James to post so that you can see these things for yourselves, what I'm going to be sharing with you. These events are in progress. And what I mean by that is there are many, many moving parts to this. And it's evolving as we speak. So what we're going to be talking about here, first current stat, is about Nibiru. Virtually all the Skywatch cams on the planet are watching this thing. They are seeing it. Amateur astronomers are seeing it. The news obviously isn't covering it. The governments of the world are not really saying much of anything, with the exception of a few. On March 15th, a YouTube video was posted by Steve Olson, O-L-S-O-N. And this link will be up when we're done. And he has video and photographic evidence of an event that occurred prior to that date, March 15th, of an explosion occurring in front of the Nibiru star and its planetary system that is coming in. They make the presumption that it was an attack. It wasn't an attack. Essentially what it is, it's technology that is being used to create a field in front of the star system that stops its trajectory. And basically what I'm saying is it made it stop dead in its tracks. Now, I don't believe that this was someone else doing it. I believe that the Nibiruans, the Anunnaki, did this themselves. For the reason that they are having conversations with the benevolence about the planet, what's going on here, etc., etc. So, my point is this, and then we'll get into some other things. The star system, Nibiru the star, and its planets and its moons have stopped moving. They are sitting just off our horizons. Okay? They're not moving. They're stationary at the moment. Now, if they remain there, this would be a really good thing for us, because it would allow us the ability to move around the sun, to continue our rotation around the sun before it starts moving again, and therefore we would not have horrific loss of life and a dramatic earth changes. This would be a very good thing if it in fact stays stationary. And it is stationary, it has been for several days now. And we continue to keep moving, so this is positive. This would put some distance between us and it when it finally starts to move. Now, I believe that this is a decision that has been made because they're a warrior class. If they were attacked, they would, of course, respond in kind. And that is simply not the case. So, when this event occurred, the powers that be on Earth, the Illuminati, the New World Order, they freaked out. They freaked out. And they are scrambling. All these underground meetings, many of them are moving into underground facilities. There is all kinds of things going on, a lot of scurrying going on all over the place, okay, by the powers that be. Because, you know, their plan was to try to get rid of two-thirds of the world's population. And because of the benevolent intervention, they were not going to be able to, you know, do something completely dastardly. So their plan was, well, when Nibiru comes across and creates all these earth changes, then, you know, there'll be a dramatic loss of life. Well, clearly that's not happening right now, if the status quo remains. So now they're scrambling because they have no idea what to do next, because they're being found out. Okay, they're being exposed. And what's going to happen if none of these events happen? All their plans to dominate, to take over, to hurt and harm humanity, to blame us for their crimes, to you know, punish us for the things that they've done to humanity, we're all going to be looking for them. So they're scrambling, folks. They have a real problem on their hands, and it's just frankly quite awesome. And I'm truly hoping that the status quo remains, that the Nibiru star and its system remain stationary for now as we move ourselves out of its way around the sun. If that doesn't happen and they start moving forward again, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But even with benevolent assistance, there were going to be some earth changes, okay, simply because of the gravitational field of a dark star. It's enormous. Not only that, but it also puts the benevolence in harm's way as well. But if Nibiru would stay stationary till we moved around the sun, that's a solution that benefits everybody. It really does. We'll have to see what's going on with that. So we will post that YouTube. There was also another YouTube post that was on March 13th by Jeff D., where it clearly shows an enormous starship cloaking just outside our atmosphere. And that was pretty awesome to watch. The Skycam caught it just as it was going invisible, and it's pretty spectacular, and I'm looking forward to you guys seeing that. Now, as that's going on off-world, here on the planet, in Israel, we have prominent rabbis, and I mean prominent rabbis, who have been talking not only about Nibiru, but also about the Messiah. And the BreakingIsraeliNews.com was the first to break these stories on the internet. There is a January 25th, 2016 story, February 24th, 2016 story, and a March 10th, 2016 story. And according to these rabbis, what they're telling their people, their flock, is that Nibiru is coming and it's bringing the Messiah in its wake. Okay, so let me say that again. Nibiru is coming and it is bringing the Messiah in its wake. As if things weren't strange enough here already. Okay, that's pretty significant stuff. So I want you to research that. It's important that you do, because we are, unfortunately, we're the last to know what's officially going on here. But what's very important is that we do everything that we can to maintain a positive field, that we stay grounded, that we stay in a position, a spiritual position of love, of guidance. That doesn't mean we give our power away ever to anyone. That is not what I'm saying. But you, as you stay the observer, you have the ability to see how things truly unfold and to see how people truly react in those circumstances. And it is important that you do that, because as you remain the observer, your intuition will guide you as to what to do and what not to do. Okay, what we don't want to do is move into any kind of a space of fear, because that's where we kind of nullify our instincts, and we don't want to do that, not with all this stuff going on. Okay, we want to maintain a place of balance, a place of power, personal power. And knowingness, trusting our own spiritual guidance to know what to do. Because as third density truly begins to unravel, and that's the operative word here, unravel, okay, we need to allow ourselves to be guided. Not only by a higher power, but also by our own soul, our own spirit. Okay, because it already knows. It already knows what's happening. We just have to allow our egos to get out of the way, or force our egos out of the way, so that we can get that inner guidance. It's imperative that we pay attention to this. Okay, so that's important. I want you to research these articles regarding the Messiah. I was actually quite surprised that they would be talking about something like this and associating it with extraterrestrials, or at least being so open about it, because clearly we've all been fed a line of bullshit all these hundreds and a thousand years by the official Catholicism. And now they're starting to come up, be more open, and start talking about these things. And the concern is, and I have said this for years, is that the first group we meet are probably more than likely not going to be friendlies. They're going to pretend to be. And you do not want to get on a starship with these people. Okay? This is our home. If you choose to go, you go of your own free will. However, this is our home. Okay, this is our planet. No one can take this from us. You just simply cannot allow that to happen. And the more centered you are in a spiritual space, you'll see all the signs. Your intuition will kick in. It will tell you you know, what's really going on and what not to believe, and to be able to look past the things that they're saying to what they're doing. This is imperative because this is all unfolding. God, this could be some summer. I'm telling you, all these things are unfolding right before us. Now, again, I want to share with you, you know, third density is unraveling. And what I mean by that is that we are raising in consciousness to the point where we see it for what it truly is. And once we understand what it is, we understand the lessons that we were here to take care of. And then we can make another choice. We can choose to move to another frequency. I don't know exactly how that all happens, but that is what's supposed to happen, okay? As third density implodes, and I don't know the exact timeline of all that, as it begins to implode, those things that are real, things that are spirit, will evolve into another frequency. Okay, that's the way of it. That is the way of it. It doesn't happen all the time. So this is a very, very unique experience. Also understand that this is all being fueled by not only our rising consciousness, but it's what's also helping it is the plasma field that we are entering as we are crossing the galactic plane. Okay, there are sky cameras all over the world now taking shots or video of plasma things going on in our atmosphere. There are some extraordinary events that have been happening in Russia, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the galactic plane, which is an enormous plasmic field. This is a form of electricity, okay? This changes things, and it changes things based on intent and spiritual guidance, all right? Please remember that. One of your strongest tools as a soul is your intent. You can intend anything to happen. You just have to intend it. You have to see it. You have to know it. You have to believe it. And you have to assume you've already got it. Okay, but it's intent and the passion and the motion behind intent that will draw your experience to you. Okay, now this isn't new. I mean, I know you guys know this. I realize I'm not talking to first graders here. I know that. I just want to remind all of you, because changes are coming. The changes that are coming are going to be so out of the box that most people are going to be like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Okay? And you see, that was actually part of the plan, to catch everybody off balance and to create and make everybody swing into this huge field of fear, okay, where they would have control and they could feed off the fear. That was the purpose for setting everybody up for these end times, okay? But that's not exactly how it's going to happen now, because there's intervention by the benevolence. And they're not going away, you know. When they will show themselves, I believe it'll be relatively soon, but they're waiting for mankind, for humanity, to reach a specific maturity place, a place of a specific maturity. And I don't know exactly what that looks like. As soon as I find out, I will, of course, let you know. Okay? Because I do want to know, just like everybody else. But these things are happening. There's just simply no denying it. And whoever does, you don't want them in your field. Okay, you want to be around people who are aware of what's going on, who can see things that are unfolding. And, you know, that doesn't mean you just disassociate yourself, but you bless them. You know, you bless them that they find a clue, they get a clue as to what's really going on here. And but it is unfolding. It is unfolding. Now, the interesting piece about the religions, that's very interesting, and we've talked about that in the past, about them playing out the second coming. Now, I don't know if Nibiru is really going to be behind that, or if that's just setting the Nibiruans up for that or not, I don't know. It has been assumed that it would be by certain groups that are here on the planet who were going to set that up and stage it as if he were coming, you know, down on a spaceship or out of a cloud, and he would physically manifest. And of course, all of that can be done using holographic technology. But again, you know, why would God need a starship? There you go. Okay. So there is just so much going on. Several questions have come recently. I'm still getting to others. There are thousands, I'm sorry, that make reference to sphere beings being here and saying that they're having to postpone things for hundreds of years until mankind reaches a specific level. I just simply don't buy that. I don't buy we have that amount of time, and I don't buy that intervention is going to occur in that way. Intervention is occurring to bring us up to speed as quickly as possible. They are not going to leave things here at 100 years as the status quo is. That simply isn't going to happen. That simply isn't going to be allowed in any way, shape, or form. Okay? Humanity can get things pretty quickly. Yes, they'll freak out. Yes, there will be a period of great anguish, of sorrow, and then of anger as they find out that most of what they've been taught by the Catholicisms has been a lie. Who wouldn't be pissed off about that? Okay? You know, they're going to be upset. They really are. However, if you can empower people with the truth, with tools to spiritually empower themselves and feel fantastic about themselves and know that they're not powerless, that they have the ability to change their lives, okay, by intending, by knowing what it is they really want, people can move through that stuff really quickly. They really can. And I think they want to. You know, I think, bottom line, everybody wants to be happy. You know, everybody wants to feel safe. Everybody wants to grow. They want to empower themselves. You know, they want love in their life. They want their children to be safe. They want a safe environment to raise their children to live. There are extraterrestrial races who want exactly the same thing, these very same things. So we are not all that different. It's just peeling off the crust of crap that we have been fed for so long. And with these events that are happening as we speak, it looks like things are in gear. Things are moving along. They're picking up. Okay. You also know that there's a signal coming from space, a repeated signal now that's coming from space that many scientists are taking very, very seriously as a signal from ET. Okay. I am waiting for an answer as to whether or not that's really coming from deep space, or if it's coming from a starship that's outside trying to pretend that it is from deep space and it's from a different race that isn't here. Okay, when I find that answer, we will post it. You also know that the European Union has sent a spaceship to Mars to find if there's proof of life on Mars. I also find that very interesting, the timing. Especially since we have so many rovers all over the place and satellites that are still there that we know nothing about, and, of course, the bases that are there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think what's happening is that the plan that the powers that be had to keep us completely in the dark until this event occurred, this geological event with the passing of Nibiru, I think all bets are off the table now because their plan isn't simply going to unfold that way, which is a good thing, which is a good thing. It was absolutely diabolical anyway to put humanity in harm's way that way just so that they could maintain control and proof and come out at the end of all that catastrophe with you know, a much smaller population, and they could come out with all the ET technology that they've reverse engineered and everything else and look like heroes. For what they have done to humanity for all these years, they absolutely do not deserve to be heroes, and they never, ever, ever should be treated as such. Because this could have been done hundreds of years ago if they really wanted to, okay? But they didn't. Instead, they chose to create wars. They chose to create religions. They chose to create hatred, poverty, starvation, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so I'm off my soapbox on that now. So that's what I have for current stat. Okay. Black holes. There is an astonishing amount of new information coming out about black holes. I want you to understand that each dimension, and I will use third density as the best example that I can give you, and then I will give you my own personal experiences with fifth density. I do not have a lot of fourth, so I can only share what I know about that. Okay, I know that there are other people who have experienced fourth density, whether they are using their dreaming bodies, they practice the Toltec techniques to travel, and other people who use other types of techniques to travel. Okay, it's time for them to step forward in a way that they feel safe and share their experiences, okay, of what they know is going on. Each dimension has an ecosystem. Each dimension is, in fact, an ecosystem. Okay, it has an environment. It registers itself. It understands positive field and negative field. That is, once you get beyond fifth density into sixth, there is no negative field, from what I've been told. Okay, but for our purposes, okay, there is a negative field that we still experience here in third density. I know for a fact fourth density also has a positive and a very large negative field, which is definitely pretty negative. And then there's fifth density, where they have more positive and a very small negative field. Each one is an ecosystem. A black hole, the black holes were put in place so that when a particular field, whether it be physical or not, goes completely negative or has lost its intent and has fallen into negative field, negative energy, negative discharge, it will be drawn to a black hole, whether it's a star or not, and it will be devoured. The purpose is for that is to remove it because it's negative, okay? If it's creating more negativity, the ecosystem will correct itself, and it will be drawn to a black hole, and it will go into a black hole. Now, what happens is the actual physicality of it is completely obliterated. It's gone. What survives is the positive spiritual energy that came from the experience. That is what we see returning. And it looks like different things. It could look like outgassing, but essentially what it is atoms and electrons that have been charged with positive thought. That's what comes out of black holes. The physicality of such is pulverized. It's gone forever. And other things will be drawn to those black holes. Now, what's interesting is that many galaxies have black holes underneath them, and they currently sort of hold them in place so that these galaxies don't wander. Some galaxies don't have a black hole, and they wander. That is clearly by design, because this is an ecosystem. Each dimension is an ecosystem. It is just not this big random field where just random shit happens all the time. There is a methodology to it, and I'm simply not smart enough to get all those pieces, okay, or to fully understand how that works. But I am giving you the pieces that I do know about that have been shared with me. And it is no different on the other dimensions. Now, obviously the galaxies that have black holes under them, whatever the original intent was in creating the galaxy, there must have been a point where the creator knew or knows that it's going to go negative field, which is why there's a black hole. So the ecosystem is there. It's already in place that should it go negative field, that it will begin to descend into the black hole. Okay? And I find that interesting. I wonder what kind of beings are actually inhabiting galaxies where there is no black hole, and those galaxies are wandering. You know, they're moving throughout what we see as third density of the universe. I would like to know that, because maybe there's something there we need to look at or know about, a knowledge or a wisdom that they have that, you know, we could use. I have also been told that there have been times in the past, not only on third, fourth, and fifth, where black holes, based on the spiritual evolution of that particular galaxy, where the black hole closed, it actually closed and went away. So, is that what's going to happen with us? I don't know. Is that what's going to happen with other star systems or other galaxies? I don't know. But I've been told that that has occurred in the past. Okay? So, what that tells us is that clearly it's in our hands as conscious beings. To me, the logical breakdown of such an event like that occurring where the black hole closes is that the inhabitants of that galaxy were all on the same page. They weren't at war with each other. They understood each other. They had mutual respect for each other, and they came into a place of unity where they vibrated within the same range of love, respect, and honor, which created such a positive field that the black hole was closed. That's how I see it. Okay? So, on fourth density, the fourth density sky is not the same thing we see. The star constellations that are in the fourth density band or realm of sound, color, light, and sound, okay, which is more expansive than ours, it's not the same sky, okay? So everything would look different. You would feel lighter, things, events happen quicker. Your ability to manifest physicality is a little bit quicker than it is here, okay? When you get to fifth density, it's the same thing. The sky doesn't look anything like our sky here. And what's interesting is that what we call the universe, with all of its dimensions, is a huge circle. And contained within that circle are not only all the different dimensions, okay, but all the life and spiritual knowledge and wisdom and events and timelessness that goes along with it. What's amazing is that we all share the same space. Okay, it is just one band on top of the other as we evolve. Okay, you pass through one into another as you spiritually evolve. And it's absolutely extraordinary when you stop to think about it. And each dimension is its own ecosystem. Okay, it has a knowledge, a natural knowledge on what is positive and what's negative field, what's healthy and what's not. And it reacts based on those energies. And it maintains or does what it's supposed to do to maintain a balance, a healthy balance. For example, when a star goes nova here, there's a reason it went Nova. It was supposed to go Nova because it reached a point where it was not creating or part of a healthy ecosystem. So it was meant to go. You know, creators far more smarter than we can imagine, I think. So, okay, dimensions. I want to talk about dimensions, and then I want to get to some questions, because I know there's a lot. I'm watching them scroll here. It's pretty wild. If you were standing on the beach and you look out over the ocean, you know that there's things going on under the water, but you can't see what's actually going under the water unless you wear a special apparatus and you actually go down and you dive into the water and you're there for a considerable amount of time. Okay? And it is essentially a different world than that on the surface. Okay? Well, fourth density is very much the same thing. Okay, you can stand on the beach in fourth density and you can dip down if you're in a starship or special apparatus, and you can dip down into third density and you can see what's going on here. But it is in fact a different world. And you need pretty much a different type of apparatus or technology so that you can stabilize your field in that lower frequency. Okay? So that's the best analogy I can give you. And then on fifth density, it's the same thing. You can dip down into fourth. You can clearly see what's going on using special technology that balances and stabilizes your field because you vibrate at a higher frequency. As you dip down, and then you go from into fourth through fourth into third density, it's exactly the same thing. You have to adjust your technology to stabilize your field because literally what you're doing is here's third, here's fifth. You are connecting. You are creating a link, a vibrational link, okay, to third to fifth density. Even though you are from fifth, are in third, that linkage remains the same, you see, because they're connected to fifth. Literally what they do is they pull the frequency of fifth density down into third. You see, so when this occurs, we are getting fifth density frequency. We are getting fifth density harmonics, which is helping to change things. This also helps and happens when you're in fourth density and a positive field comes down and affects and sits for any length of time in third density. You are creating that field, that linkage. So you're getting positive fourth density field. Unfortunately, the rule still applies when you're dealing with negative fourth density field, okay, who comes in into third and adjusts their technology and they're here for a while. They're also pulling in fourth density, negative field, okay? And it's energy. It's all energy, and it's important that you truly understand what that means. The energy that you put into creating a project for work or a school project, a bulletin board, to making a video, the energy, the focus that you put into it. It is no different than when those fifth density beings come down into third, the focus and energy that they put into a project, whether it's to remove the Orion group, to get rid of the grays, to contact people, any one of you, myself included, you know, the energy that's brought in, it stays with you, it changes you. And what happens is you, once that happens, you ground that energy to the third density. Okay, you become a lightning rod. You hold that frequency here, you know, both positive and negative. Now, if you don't want to hold negative energy, then just shake it off and choose to hold positive energy. Okay, you can do that. You can easily attract, if you've been exposed to dark fourth energy, you can easily attract positive fourth density energy because you're connected to that sphere. You are connected to that realm, that band of energy. You are. You can do this. You just have to consciously know and be willing to do it. It's all about intention, folks. Okay? It's all about intention. And that is the operative word here. With everything that you do, know what your intention is and to do it. Okay? Oh my God, it is so powerful. I simply can't explain it any better than that. It's just so powerful, you know, to be consciously aware of what your intention is in doing something. The things that you do every day. When you go robotic with the things that you do in your life every single day, you know, whether it's to do the laundry at the same time every day, to watch your television programs, your soap operas at the same time every day, to turn on a radio program every day, are you consciously aware of your intention while you're doing it? Okay? Is it just something that's become a habit? What you don't want to do is to allow your subconscious to make a habit of your mind, of your thinking. You don't ever want to do that, okay? It's imperative that you consciously be aware of your intention, of what you're thinking and why you're thinking and why you're doing things, okay? What it is, it's a reality check. You don't want your subconscious to run amok by assuming that it can think for you in the form of habits. You just don't want to do that, okay? JP, can we do some questions now? Would that be all right? I'd be very comfortable doing questions now, if everybody's okay with that. There you are.
There I am, coming back. All right, stop.
So are we good with that?
There we go. Using questions? Me. Yeah, there we go. Hi, everybody. Great, so let me just, there we go. Yeah, got the wrong glasses on today. So let's start with some of these questions. One of the things I wanted to just say here, Alex, is that there are a few questions here that are, they're about people, you know, about other people. So I'm going to just filter out those at all, you know, because they're saying, oh, what do you think of so and so? What do you think of that?
I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to criticize other people's journey, their experience, because, you know, I know that they'll have an opinion on mine, but I'm just not interested in playing that game. I mean, ultimately, you're the ones who have to decide. You have to make the choices. You have to figure out what it is that you want to know and how you want to know it and what it is you want to experience based on what your intention is for being here. And if you can't figure that out, just make up an intention of why you think you want to be here and just go from there. But the point is, empower yourselves, okay? Just come up with your own ideas of why you think, of what you think is happening, okay? If you put it out there, if you put the intention out there that I want to know about this, believe me, the universe is going to respond. Fifth density is going to respond. Fourth density is going to respond. And they're going to bring the answers to you. It will absolutely happen. Okay? Just be patient. Allow the universe to do its job. It will happen. Okay? We're getting so much help. It is stunning. But I'm not going to criticize anybody. You know? Shit. I got other things to do. Okay, JP.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, the first question from simply the letter L. Is disclosure going to happen soon? Happen soon? I'd say, well, I mean, on you go,
it's
Alex.
It's been happening. Are you, what is it, you expect a news conference? I don't see that happening.
I think she's expecting Obama to say, fellow Americans, I've got something to tell you.
No. I don't believe that's how it's going to happen at all. It's happening. If you're paying attention, it's already happening. And you can see it. There is so much going on that why would you believe Obama? I mean, really. You know, they have been in league with the Greys, the Orion Group, the Reptilians for years and years and years. You know, subverting the Constitution, subverting individual liberties, subverting freedom all over the planet. Why would you believe them? I mean, really. Okay.
Okay, so first interesting question from your namesake, Alexander. He's a good attendee. He's been on for you. Bosnian pyramids. Can you speak to the benefit the pyramids play upon the surface of planetary bodies? Very good question. As well as any information you have about the origins of the Bosnian pyramid complex.
I don't have any information other than what's been written about. I have not had an opportunity to even have those conversations with Mornay, so I don't know. I do know, I will say this, though. There is no accident for its placement. Now, obviously, the Earth was in a different... the North and South Pole were different when that pyramid was created. Now, it could be that when it was built for a very specific purpose to pump energy into the atmosphere or to help stabilize the rotation of the planet, because if you were to take the pyramids off the surface of the Earth and from their positions underneath the ocean, the Earth would have a horrible wobble because of the scar that we know as the Pacific Ocean. Okay, it's a huge scar, and it causes the planet to wobble terribly. The pyramids were put in those specific places to help balance, like a tire, to help balance the rotation of the planet. As far as the Bosnia pyramid, my guess is that the Earth was in a different rotation, north and south longitude. It was in a different rotation. But that's the only piece I have for you. I don't have anything else other than that.
I think the word you were looking for is orientation. Is that right?
Yes,
pointing
yes,
in a different direction. So, question from Dennis. Can our soul reincarnate to other species on Earth, and how do we choose into which body we will go?
I don't believe you can go back. You can't go to human to horse, human to turtle. Okay, you can't become a ninja turtle. That's just not going to happen.
Oh.
Okay, but you can change sex, and you can, evolve into higher level of human being. So, if that's your question, that's
thank you. From Penny, back on the second or third webinar, I asked about what's a typical day in the life of the A's, and Alex said he would have to think about that and would address it later. Now, you did cover it a few weeks ago, but she continues, I am still waiting for a picture of how a civilization can work without money. And I think that's really you spoke about the other parts of it, but how do they, we're paying rent on a planet we were born on. How does it work for everybody else?
Well, if you begin with a civilization that has the premise that all life has value and that all life has a responsibility and a right to exist, to evolve and explore itself within a community, spiritual community, then you wouldn't need money. One of the hurdles that we have to deal with during the mentorship is just that concept about how to remove ourselves from a monetary system and to see how every action we take has value by itself. Now, there are people who are going to incarnate who want to experience growing, harvesting, farming, horticulture. They're going to want to experience that because it's part of their evolutionary path. Now, the A's, they have people who work in their orchards, and this is what they do. I mean, their students, their children, go to school for the equivalent here on Earth of 150 years. They learn all the sciences, and as they grow, each one of those sciences they dedicate so many years to learning what those sciences. And because they continue to grow, they have what is called the law of consistency, okay, where everybody works towards a common goal. This isn't communism now, okay? Everybody works towards a common goal where the youngest are taught by the oldest everything they know. So that as the youngest are coming up to speed, there is absolutely no loss of logic, no loss of knowledge, the younger generations are as smart, if not smarter, than the older generations. And as the older generations fade away, the younger generations immediately take their place, and they move on, and they carry the civilization, their particular race, into the next higher levels of evolution. And it's called the law of consistency. They teach everyone the same, so everyone moves with the same intent of evolving their race. They don't see themselves as blacks or whites or Chinese or Japanese or North Koreans or South Koreans. That shit doesn't exist, okay? Because it only creates rift. It only creates disharmony, and it only creates negative field. And that's what's happened here, and that is why these alien groups that have been here, the regressives, have had such control over us, because they've been able to sell us on that shit. And once they get us to believe it, it becomes a reality. Once we believe it, it locks itself into place. And it becomes reality, okay? And in order to prove ourselves right, we will hold on to that reality, because we think this is the way it has to be, okay? It is only now that everybody's starting to kind of wake up saying, this just doesn't work, okay? Because we in no shape or form practice the law of consistency here. It's a miracle we have made it this far with all the anger, hate, and war and weaponry that's been created on this planet. It truly is. It's been a miracle. Okay? When the mentoring begins, whenever that is, that's one of the first things they're going to do, is they're going to have to change our thinking into your actions aren't about paper with pictures on it. It's about contributing to the whole. Okay? That's the first thing. It's contributing to society as a whole. You don't need money to survive. The fact that you're here on your planet gives you the right to be able to survive. Okay? We don't have that logic now. We don't have it at all. We think we have to do it for money, and who prints the money? Okay? Where does all that wealth come from? The powers that be. Okay? The Nephilim. There you go. It's really quite simple once you break it down.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next question from Annabelle Bawa. Are you familiar with the Yahweh tapes, and are some Anunnaki, the first one, I don't know, but are some Anunnaki good? That's a good question.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the Yahweh tapes. I don't know anything about that. And obviously some of the Anunnaki were good. The fact that, and I was having this conversation yesterday, the fact that the star system has stopped and is possibly waiting for us to move around to the other side of the sun tells me that Enlil, aka Father of Jehovah, is not in charge, because that's a very benevolent act, okay, to wait to allow us to get out of the way. That's a benevolent act. The Enlil side of the family has not been known for its benevolent acts, especially towards humans here on Earth. So it would suggest that a more benevolent prince is now reigning the Anunnaki tribe, which would be a really, really good thing, because they would be a wonderful ally to have, because they could teach us so much about ourselves, having been, the last real race that was here. They could teach us a lot about our history, and I would want that to be taught in a very benevolent way.
Wow, that's pretty good news. Okay. From Grace, several months ago you spoke about a veil, grid, or net going down. Can you speak more about this grid's purpose and the results of dropping this net? How was it put into place?
God, I thought we already covered that, but I'll cover it again. Okay,
yeah, it's sort of a bit more detail, who put it there and what it was put there for and things.
The regressives put it there. It was put up there by the Orion group specifically. And basically what it did is it stopped. It created a field of energy, of a radio wave, for lack of a better word, where cosmic energy, cosmic knowledge, would not penetrate the Earth's planet. We could send information out, garbage out, but nothing would come back in. Okay? That's what its purpose was.
Okay.
And, you know, understand, stars, when ET races, communicate with each other across the universe or a galaxy, that information is sent using stars. Okay? Stars transmit an enormous amount of information, knowledge, and frequency. Okay? There is some wisdom to sun worshippers. There really is. Okay? We made fun of them, but there was some knowledge to it. And if you go back to the ancient civilizations that held a pretty high level of consciousness, they were all star worshippers. Okay? A lot of data and information come from stars. None of that was actually reaching us except for radiation. Okay? And you know, they're a very sophisticated race. They knew exactly how to filter the knowledge but allow all the other stuff to come in. Okay? That would not benefit us. So, the benevolence, what was happening, is that they would come in with their ships, whether it be motherships or not, knowing that they would not be attacked. What they would do is they would park them just inside the net, the field, okay? And they would burn holes in it. And they would know that as soon as that hole was built, it would take so many weeks for that net to refill. And what they did was they just burned it out. They burned that field out by putting ships inside of it and burning all these holes, and there was no way that it could eventually replenish itself. And then what they did was the satellites that were creating this field were just taken out, literally just pulled out of the atmosphere. So they no longer exist. They're just not up there. There's no more hardware up there to even work. They just took it all out. And now what you're seeing is this flood of information, of knowledge, of spiritual essence hitting the planet. And everybody's getting it, whether they're bricks or not. Okay, they're all getting this frequency. And people are starting to, they're starting to react to it. They're starting to absorb it, to ask questions that they wouldn't ask 10 years ago, to rethink the way that they see things now that they was impossible 10 years ago. Okay, and we all know people like that. Well, this is this frequency, okay? And we are also getting bombarded with knowledge, spiritual knowledge that is very subtle, but that we are all getting on a soul level, okay, an energetic level. It's an amazing time, and it's all positive. We just have to get rid of some pockets of no-gooders that are still here. And that's happening, but you know, it has to happen in such a way that they, you see, when you have regressive groups that are very, very negative, that are just empowered by negative field, the first thing they do is they put innocence between them and the light. It's the very first thing they do. And then what they do is they threaten the light with harming the innocents, okay? So that if anything happens, it's on the head of the innocents. This is how they work it, okay? By the innocent ones, which would be most of humanity. So, and I've said this many, many years ago, that, you know, we're being held hostage on our own planet, and no one has a clue, okay? Well, that's pretty much what's happening, but when humanity is evolving and changing its own field from negative to positive, which is what was happening, their grip on humanity is lessening and lessening to the point where they are now beginning to separate from humanity. Their field is causing them to separate away from humanity. And when it gets to a specific place, okay, they will not be able to touch us because our field will be so positive. And that's when the benevolence are going to come in and just, you're done. That's how it has to happen, and it's taking a while, okay? But when humanity reaches a certain point of frequency and the regressives no longer have any ability to harm us, they're going to come in and take it. They're going to take and whack them. That's how this is going to work. This is how it's always worked.
So this is a bit like one of those old-fashioned flash guns that you hear this, and it builds up, and then there comes a point when you can take the photo. So when the Earth people's energy is high enough, they're not going to be supporting the regressive. One last connection with this is, are these satellites the Black Knight satellites?
No.
That's something different. Okay. All right, so question from Richard. Alex, how many times do you have contact with the A's today? Is it the same as 10 years ago, or has it changed?
There's never been a schedule. There's never been a pattern to it. Okay, it just doesn't exist. And they do that for a lot of reasons, not only for me, but also for them. You know,
so they don't get shut down.
There is no watch. There is no calendar. You know, here's my MSN calendar. You know, be here on these days. No, that's not how it happens. You know, plus we're dealing
with... There was a question about that, Alex.
It's quite complicated when you break it down. So there is no schedule that never has been. And I'm on the record of having said that 20-some-odd years ago as well. So...
You can figure it out that they wouldn't do anything. But here's a question from Dennis. How do the A's deal with time? For example, not to be late on meetings, gathering, or school lessons. Do they use some kind of clock?
No, not to my knowledge at all. I speculate here. But for the time that I was, that short time that I was in fifth density with them, it would appear that they would, their motivation was never time but events. They always knew ahead of time of events. And they were always positioning themselves to be in the right place for an event. There were no times or calendars because, you know, events are not dictated by time. Not like we have here on sports or a football game. You know, in space it's completely different. We are talking about a completely different environment. And what we have on Earth is so structured as to almost be a prison. And the only way... And there's no way for me to even express this to you unless you yourselves have an experience with a group in fourth or fifth density. Then you will just understand how completely different it is. It is such a completely different reality that there's no way to actually compare it to what it is we experience here. The solidity that we have created physically around our reality. When you move up into fourth or you go into a fifth density space and you spend any amount of time there, when you come back down, you're like, oh my God. That's the only way you'll ever see it. The structure, the solidity of it, how firm it is. It's like being in a prison. It's like being in jail. It really is. That's my perspective. That's my perspective.
Thank you. So where are we? We've got... there's a good one. Is there the same number of souls in our universe, or can a new soul be created, brought into our universe, or be destroyed?
My knowledge is souls cannot be destroyed. And I do not know the number, and I don't know if any new souls were coming in. Again, as I explained to you, the universe with all of its dimensions is a sphere. it may be that, and this is pure supposition on my part, it could be that there are a number of souls in that universe who have to experience all the dimensions and the evolution, because it's a closed ecosystem with all the dimensions. That's my understanding, or at least that's what the Yezibin are being taught, is that it's a closed ecosphere, and a new dimension was in fact created, okay, a 12th. So, and new souls, beings, did appear within that 12th density. So, obviously, new souls can come in, but I'm not aware of them coming in down at the bottom. I'm only aware of those coming in at the top who are looking down through all the dimensions. That's the only piece I have for you. It's a really good question, though.
Indeed.
I don't know that my gaze would even know.
Okay, we got another really good question, which is Terran human genetics. Did the A's specifically as the group alter the Terran human genome, or are we only distantly related to them as we are to all of the other galactic races, human races?
Okay. Great question. Let's clear the air on this. There is contributing to the gene pool, and then there is altering the gene pool. Okay? Now, when we talk about altering, we're talking about those who have taken humanity, women specifically, off-world or in their ships, and they've altered their DNA to turn off or turn on specific genomes. Okay? So that the body would either create this or it would stop creating that, such as vitamin C. Okay, our bodies used to create vitamin C, which gave us an unusual longevity of life. The groups that came in and altered that turned off. They turned it off. Okay? So that's altering. When you have an extraterrestrial race that has been here and has mated and created offspring using their DNA, mixing with a human's DNA, what we know as ourselves, Terrans, and having offspring, that is contributing to the DNA, okay? There is a huge difference. One enhances, one does not. Yes, the A's contributed. The A's contributed to our genome.
The A's contributed. That means that they had relations with human women, and we are sharing our world with the descendants of these beings.
Yes.
Cool. Lone Oak 7 asks, how do we know when our timeline or dimension is shifting or changing? Physical, emotional symptoms, mental system symptoms? How do we know?
Well, God, you know, it was a Lone Oak, is that right? Is that his name, Lone Oak?
Lone Oak 7, yes.
Lone Oak 7. Geez, you know, Lone Oak, I can only speak for me. When things aren't working for me in my life, I know I need to make a change. You just kind of know when things aren't going your way and you can't catch a break. You know, you're spiraling into depression because your thinking is bad or strong. I mean, you kind of know. And I would say to you that if you don't know when things aren't working for you, I don't know that anybody else is going to be in a position to exactly tell you why it's not working. Because if you don't know, you don't know. Okay? You have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. You have to know what it is you want. If you're not getting what you want, then you have to change the way you're approaching it or the way you're thinking about it. Okay? It's real simple, actually. Okay? You first have to figure out what it is you want, and then focus your intention on what it is you want and nothing else. Okay? That's it. That's how it works. It isn't rocket science.
It's been very good. I've actually used some of this ideas because I had my terrible internet issues and nothing seemed to be doing. So I I turned and focused, right, okay, this is what I want, and I've achieved it. I've got a great speed now, and we've got a great connection. So that's an example. All right, from Russell. Money bad me home. Indeed. From Russell, Alex, can you explain why certain reptilians are trapped here if they're fourth density? I understand CERN was an endeavor to create a portal to the fourth density so they can get out or share dark resources with entities, but aren't there already portals here to the fourth density?
None that are open, no. Those have all been closed and they're all being monitored for a reason. And those reptilians who came down here in fourth density, the technology that they were wearing either quit, wore out, or was stolen from them. So they have no ability to return back. They're stuck here. And they will be dealt with. They will be dealt with. Because they're very angry. They typically are very, very angry. Because they don't want to be here either. You know? Mm.
So, and, you know, presumably there's some method of detection that the A's or the allies can use to kind of find them and, say, beam them aboard sort of thing. I mean, you know, is that a sort of, is that a reality or is it hard?
Oh, yeah, I mean, let me give you the example of a radio wave, okay? And you know about this stuff, JP, okay? You have a radio wave and it's very stable. And then all of a sudden you have a blip. You have a blip here. You have a blip here. Okay, you have a spike. Okay? It's the same concept with dimensions, because what you're dealing with are frequencies. You are still dealing with frequencies. And when you see a spike in from third to fourth, you know that there's activity there. So they move in, okay, and they will either suppress the spike or they will monitor the spike to see exactly what is occurring. And it's the same thing with fourth density and fifth density. What you are doing is you're monitoring frequency. Okay? The frequencies in fourth into fifth, when you have a lower frequency spike into a higher frequency, they pay attention to it. All right? They do. And it's the same thing with a higher frequency spiking into lower. They pay attention to it. Because it is not the norm. It's not supposed to occur that way. It is no different with third density and fourth density. A spike up into fourth from third density, they know we don't have that technology, or we're not supposed to. So they immediately monitor it and move in to see what it is, to record it. And it's no different from fourth density spiking into third density. They know that depending upon the field, if it's negative, they know immediately what it is. And they know they're not supposed to intervene that way. So they immediately move in and record it and deal with the energy. Okay? Deal with the spike or the event, which is usually what it is. It's an event of someone opening a door or closing a door. Okay? We're dealing with frequencies. All life, all physicality is light, color, and sound. All of it. If you break it down to its smallest parts, what you will see is nothing but energy that is held together by the intent of its creator. That's what it is.
Magnetized by thought. From Alexander once again. Now here's a really interesting one. H2 versus O2. In our distant past, misunderstandings occurred between oxygen-based life forms and hydrogen-based life forms. Does the differing processes which gave rise to these differing physicalities lead to difference in mental or energetic perception? In other words, does the O2 mind think differently than the H2 mind? Well, an interesting question.
Alexander, you're smarter than I am. I don't have the answer.
He's another Alexander as well. It must be the same collective.
I do not have the answer to that. I'm just a lowly journeyman here. I don't have that answer.
Okay. All right. Idaeus, Alex, in your understanding, why do we dream at night? I think we've spoken about dreams before. There may be a previous answer to that.
Many people, you know, I could not honestly give you a satisfactory answer to that, because most of my dreams, my own personal dreams now, are all color, and I know that I'm doing work while I'm asleep. I'm 24/7, actually. And I cannot recall the last time I had a black and white dream, which is, of course, the subconscious. So I know that for me, there are just not enough hours in the day. So when I go to sleep, my body rests, but my soul doesn't. It's constantly working, trying to figure things out. It could be that I'm connecting with other souls, you know, in the never realm, whatever you want to call it, the dream realm, to work out things or to get some things accomplished, so that when I come back and I wake up in my physical form, you know, I'm working towards a goal in getting some headway. The Toltecs talk about using the dreaming body to do exactly that, where they intentionally know they're in the dream, and what they'll do is they'll go to different places and accomplish things that will help them when they awaken in their physical form. That's what I believe I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm a Toltec, but that's what I believe I'm doing. So that's the answer to that. I can't speak for others. I just don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe not a short tech, maybe not a tall tech either. But anyway, from Lauren, in the past, you've mentioned that the A's are in awe of our ability to create music out of thin air. Have Morinet or Vasseis ever specifically mentioned an artist or style that they particularly enjoy? Do like that. Bach or Led Zeppelin, you know?
No, not specifically, but I will tell you that they were enamored with classical music that we would play here, enamored with it.
Excellent. A question from Luca. Can Alex describe how steerable Nibiru is, how it works?
I have no idea. I mean, if they had to make it stop its orbit, it clearly doesn't make right and left turns, okay? There's consequences to changing the orbit of a star or anything, okay, because it has specific relationships. It has an energy field. It projects energy. It has a gravitational field. It affects other things when you change it. And as far as Nibiru, the fact that if it has stopped, if it continues to stop, and it waits for us to pass, to get out of harm's way, and then move, that should tell you that it's orbit is stable, and that's what it's meant to be. Okay? It's just
presumably
buying us a window. They're giving us this incredible window to get out of the way so we can continue to evolve spiritually without all this horrible stuff happening, which has happened in the past on Earth. You know? It has caused pole shifts and other things, which have been tragic, but, you know, here we have an opportunity where we're being given a window of time to continue our spiritual evolution and not have to go back to ground zero. Okay, if it maintains, if what's happening now maintains itself, the minute it doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll know pretty quick.
From Anna Balboa, where will we be able to travel again to our family constellations like Lyra and other constellations? Through our heart, would we be capable to embrace our families in the stars? I'm missing so very much as a warrior here. It's my strong wish they leave us alone in peace. Are we the descendants of Tara? Oh, see, several questions.
I don't know. To all those questions, I don't know. I would think some of us are maybe ancestors or related to those in, is it Lyra, into Tara, she said, Tara, wherever that is. The question is, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what what we really need to focus on is the task that's in front of us right now. Okay, and that's changing the harmony and the frequency of our race and of the planet. That's the work that's in front of us right now. It is not three lifetimes from now, you know, being able to travel by starship to Lyra. That's not the work right now. The work right now is us here in the present. And we need to stay focused on the present, okay? I'm lonely too. But this is what it is. This is what it is.
And
sorry
luckily,
to about
that's
that.
Fine.
That's what it is, you know?
You know, there's a lot of people who are in the same position and, you know, thank God we got the internet, you know, that we're able to actually connect with each other. Look at you 30 years ago and like a voice in the wilderness, you know. So
I
bless your heart.
I was screaming into the wind.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here. I'm going to do that. What about the jet stream lowering down to ground level and causing extreme weather? Is that still going to happen?
To be determined. To be determined. You know, the fact that Nibiru has stopped and is stationary, you know, that can be perceived as a game changer. We will just have to see. I'm sincerely hoping that it is a game changer in a positive way. We'll have to see, folks. I don't know. I don't know.
From Ed Deus again. Alex, what do you make of this recent talk about partial disclosure as the new plan which is going around truth circles? And follow up, what do you think a grassroots effort for full disclosure looks like as far as people's intentions manifesting the disclosure? Does that make sense?
You know what, there's so many people who are awake that have done their own research and, you know, they don't need the government to tell them a damn thing. They already know. They already have the answer. Okay? And the answer is we're not alone. We never have been. So, you know, that's the answer. As far as partial disclosure, why is it necessary that you hear about it on Fox News? That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get about you guys. You know, why do you need Fox News to tell you? You don't. You can do your research. You already know. You can make up your own minds. You don't need the news to tell you. Half the time the shit on the news is bullshit anyway. You know, they just make it up or they spin it in such a way that it creates fear or it discredits someone else. You know, empower yourself. Seriously, empower yourself. Partial disclosure. I mean, what's the difference between partial and full at this point? I mean, you know, go on the internet and look at the sky cams of Nibiru. You can see it, whether you're in Costa Rica, whether you're in Chile, whether you're at the South Pole, you know, whether you're at the North Pole, whether you're in British Columbia, all the cams see it. You need more information than that? You need somebody from Fox News to read a script and tell you, hey, folks, if there it is, and then you'll know for sure it's there? You don't trust yourself to know? I don't know what to do about that, guys. I don't know what to do about that. You know?
I very much agree, Alex. We're all trying to prove. I think what it is, it's about trying to prove it to our family that we were right in the end. And then, you know, really, that's not what it's about. We need to know in ourselves, don't we?
That's it. That's it. If you know it, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, okay? Because you know what? Eventually they're going to come up behind you and say, damn, you were right. It's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen.
All right, here's a good one. This is connects with our conversation the other day. From Sue, who is the Ashtar Command? Friend or foe? Ha, ha,
ha. Okay. You didn't plant that question, did you, JP? That's a real question.
Honestly, that is absolutely from the chat room. Totally.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me give you some background on this group. And I know that there are some really wonderful people who are very much in that camp. And you, of course, have your own free will to choose whatever it is that you want. But I will tell you what I do, in fact, know about this group. Very, very long ago, on Earth during many, many extraterrestrial warring groups that had occurred. There was an organization known as Giza Intelligence, and I believe Myers Pleiadians have also made reference to this group. It was known as Giza Intelligence. One of the leading members of the Giza Intelligence, which was a regressive group, okay, I want to make that clear, was Ashton Sharia, now known as Ashtar. They hail from Aldebaran. They are, in fact, Pleiadian, a Pleiadian group. However, they are negative field. And I mean negative field. They were horrible tricksters. And their job was to infiltrate both sides and then report or leverage the information to their own means. Terrible things happened because of their manipulations and interventions. Okay? That's who this group is. That is who this group is. Okay? And, you know, don't waste your time ripping me a new asshole. I don't care. That's who this group is. You need to come to terms with it yourself. Okay? And that's all I have to say about it. That's who they are. Okay? And you will never convince me otherwise.
So, where are we? Yeah. Back to the questions. From Gene, what does the current political situation have to do with what's going on cosmically? Now, I want to just kind of expand it, say, global political situation rather than just, you know, is it going to be Trump or Hillary? You know, proper politics, exopolitics, Putin and all that stuff.
Oh my
I'd
God.
Like to
oh my
just God. Expand. Because, oh, by the way, is it the A's who Putin is in contact with?
I'm not aware of that. I'm not aware who he's in contact with. And that's not something they would ever even tell me. So no, I don't know. So that question, as far as the political scene, I purposely think they are turning it into a circus to keep us all distracted and disempowered and second guessing everything, instead of focusing on our own spiritual evolvement and trying to get centered. You know, the more chaos that there is, the more of a circus atmosphere, the more fear that it usually generates. And that's their intention, is to generate fear, not peace and harmony. Because if that were true, they would have come clean with all of their nonsense. And they're just simply not going to do that. Because they're in fear, they're in more fear than we are at the present moment, which is why they're trying to create all this fear so we don't figure out what the hell it is that they're doing. So, you know, it starts at the top, and it's a circus. You know, their whole plan for world domination is crumbling around them. Their whole infrastructure that they've created to create world domination is crumbling because everybody's figuring out these guys are absolutely diabolical and no one wants a part of it. So it's just a big distraction to create more fear. That's why I've said, you know, for some time now, you have to be the observer. Not emotionally buy into it. Be the observer and just watch how things are falling into place. And you will know what's really happening. Okay? You don't want to give your energy to this crap. Okay, you want to keep it. You want to keep it to yourself. You want to empower yourself with your own positive energy. Okay, you don't want to buy into all the nonsense, all the fear, because that's what keeps them in control. Okay, that's what feeds their drama. Is all the fear, and you want to? We want to starve these bastards out of here. We really do. We want to starve them. They're not looking for love. They're looking for fear. Okay, so let's just not. Let's give them love. And starve him out of here.
Last one. This is from Mark. Can UFO or the craft jump between dimensions, like third to sixth?
A six-dimensional Lightship can jump into third. A third cannot jump into fifth or sixth. Not even fourth, actually. Okay? It can't. Because the solidity of the field, of the craft, how do I put this? When a starship comes down from, say, fifth density into third, and and what it will do is it will create a field, let's say 30 meters. Okay, it will declare the space of 30 meters. Inside that ship, though, it may be 700 meters. Okay, the inside of the ship will be larger than the outside. Okay, and that's because it is still connected to fifth density. All right, it is still maintaining its original frequency. Okay, when we see it here, it is only taking up this amount of space. We should not ever assume that what we see is exactly what it is. Okay, it could be much larger. It is only borrowing this much space to observe what's going on in our dimension. Okay, it is rare that a ship from fifth density will totally express itself and will expand and maintain that amount of space. They don't need to. Okay? They remember, everything's an ecosystem, and that's exactly how they think of, you know, their ship. If it's holding this much space, it's only affecting this much of our frequency, our dimension. Okay? They're very, very mindful of that. So, sixth to third, third to sixth, won't happen. Won't happen. Okay? And even if, like, say we're talking about the Archons, how they flipped up into fifth, okay, using the field, using the CERN, okay, they were immediately found out, right? Because they were able to see the event occur. And what happened is their frequency caused a huge spike. It caused a spike in fifth dimensional frequency, which everybody saw. Okay, because it's an ecosystem. It's a frequency. The minute that spike was there, they knew something had happened. Now, they were never going to be able to stay there. Okay? Because their physiology simply isn't conducive to that frequency. All right? Okay? So, and that's what happened.
Okay, thank you. Elbasan, have animals been genetically affected like us by the wars that happened way back? When did the animals' blood change from copper-based, and were wolves plant eaters, or were they genetically altered? And who were the animals before this occurred? I don't know. So there's a few questions here. But
I don't know. No, I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
I don't know everything. I just don't know everything, you know.
I know. But you do know loads of stuff, though. So not everything, but loads of stuff is enough. All right, so here's an interesting thing. This is from Helen. Are the Nephilims cause of the chemtrails so that humans will not evolve together with the old Earth's evolution?
No. No, we can't blame that on the Nephilims.
Oh, good.
No, we can't blame it on them. I think that was part of the master plan to eliminate much of humanity through diseases. I believe that was the original intent. So.
Okay, and Coralie, why didn't the other races destroy the grid sooner?
You know, I don't know what the original plan was. I do not know. But again, if I had a fallback position, it would be to go back to the fact that the regressives have been using humanity as a hostage. So I think certain steps had to occur in such a way that it would undo those certain acts or aggressions against humanity, so that when the frequency began to move into and hit our nervous system, and that's where it's hitting. Remember, the soul attaches to the body through the nervous system. Okay? When these cosmic energies and knowledge start hitting our bodies, our nervous system, and our body, our mind, and our DNA begins to awaken to the knowledge. Remember, it's reawakening to the knowledge that we're getting. They wanted to create some distance so that the negative field was more isolated. And I believe that's what was occurring. They're very, very strategic with what any type of intervention, and they have to be. It is not you come in like a gunslinger, you know, blazing and shooting. That would create more chaos, more fear, and that is not what they're about. Okay. That's what I got. I you know what, I will make sure I ask that question. You know, why didn't it happen sooner? I will ask that question to whoever that person was.
It's a good one, but it's probably exactly as I say, that humanity has been held hostage by weapons of unimaginable destruction that we don't even know about their technology.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so this is a good one. This is from Bia. Hi, Alex. Can we help raise the frequency by meditating? Are crop circle patterns made to help raise the frequency?
I
remember we had a conversation about crop circles about 2-3 years ago.
Yes, we did. The circles, we'll go with that first, the circles. The circles are not only data, but it's also information that's being given to the planet. Okay, it's coded information that's giving to the planet. Harmonic frequencies and knowledge given to the planet, and it could very well be that there is a great deal of communication going on between the benevolence and the planet so that everybody is aligned with what's supposed to go on. You know what, guys? I have to give up my room. Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Great, great. Thank you so much, Alex. It's been a really good one today. You're looking well. Thank you very much, and good night. Any final messages?
I love you.